You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Here we are, May 27th, 2020. Governor Cuomo, regarding nursing homes, how he put infected COVID patients into those homes, telling the nursing homes under directive he issued in March, you have to take COVID patients. If they've tested positive or even suspected, even if they're released from a hospital, you have to take them in your nursing home. And then later he reversed that in May 11th. After the deaths continued to accelerate in nursing homes in his state. Out of 20-plus thousand dying in New York State, 20 to 25% died in nursing homes. And nursing homes are saying, well, we thought we had to take them. Now, of course, then the governor comes back and says, well, no, you could always have rejected them. He didn't let that. He didn't take that consideration when he issued his order, so they thought they had to obey exactly what he put in. So now that Cuomo has come out, he's granted immunity to nursing home executives. Well, looky here. A report from The Guardian reporting that the New York State Democrat Committee, then backing Cuomo's primary run in 2018, received more than $1 million from the Greater New York Hospital Association. That's a lobbying group for hospital systems, some of which own nursing homes. And so now Cuomo is signing legislation granting hospital and nursing home executives immunity from any lawsuits related to the virus. In other words, he's going to give them some protection. Do you think there might be a conflict there? Do you think it's worth investigating what's going on? In the meantime, the latest survey indicating that a lot of folks in New York State are not happy with the way Cuomo liked it. In fact, nearly half of New Yorkers surveyed critical of how he handled the nursing homes. And the CDC clarifying rules again. We were told originally coronavirus could exist on surfaces, and then the word came out the other day, well, no, that's not really likely to have, you know. And the impetus of the message at that time is you can't get it off of things that you touch. Now the CDC is coming back and said, our edit last week on the transmission might be confusing. Might be confusing. To us is very indicating clearly that the virus will not exist and lie on surfaces, so you don't need to worry about that. Now the CDC is saying, well, actually, it may be possible you can get COVID-19 by touching a surface or object that has a virus on it and then touching your mouth, nose, or possibly your eyes. But this is not the main way it spreads. We understood that. We understood that wasn't the main way, but still. Are you confused as to what you can or can't do? No wonder. We continue to have, across the nation, folks getting extremely impatient because the rules are shifting, changing, and no one really seems to know. They don't know about their model projections. They don't even know what it can or can't do, at least what we're seeing so far. So we're all caught in this whirlpool of confusion. Where do we stand right now? Worldwide infections, 5.6 million. Deaths, 350,000. In the U.S., 1.7 million infected. And just under 99,000 deaths. We're that close to hitting that 100,000 mark. And watch the mainstream media go ballistic. We got a lot to cover in the next 2 hours. Censorship on the Twitter device. Is it censorship or maybe partisan censorship? In other words, are they going to target conservatives? I think so. We'll look at that. Congress preparing to reform FISA after abuses cited in the Russian collusion debacle, and just in the last minutes, Justice Department urging President Trump to veto that legislation. Just before a scheduled vote in the House, we'll have an expert discussing it. In Minneapolis, did police use excessive force killing a black man? Then from New York, the story of a white woman who calls police about a black man threatening her. Was he? And Joe Biden now blaming Charlemagne Lagarde for his statement that got him in trouble the other day. You know that statement. If you're black and you can't decide if you're going to vote for me, then you ain't black. Biden now putting the blame on Charlemagne. Not me. And Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton going to be featured in a new documentary. Bill Clinton is not going to like this documentary. Well, we've got that and a lot more, all coming up over the next 2 hours. I mean, we've got material that I'm going to be cramming in fast for you, so you really need to be ready. Lock and load, ready on the right.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
COVID-19, coronavirus, is real. But despite all the hype, the fake news, there's no need to panic. Still, you want your environment safe for customers, employees, family. What can be done? How much would it cost? Who to trust? I can tell you, Wellington Environmental. Wellington Environmental would determine the best way to protect against COVID-19. Wellington Environmental can do it at a very reasonable cost. When it comes to trust, for more than 30 years, Wellington Environmental has been working with hospitals, nursing homes, universities, schools, even private homes. You don't last more than 30 years if you're not doing an excellent job. COVID-19 is a new health concern, but Wellington Environmental has the experience to give you peace of mind. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
My thoughts were short, my hair was long, caught somewhere between a boy and man. She was 17 and she was far from in between. It was summertime in northern Michigan.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
People have been removed from Twitter for far less outrageous behavior. Come on, Jack Dorsey. Instead, for the first time, Twitter tonight is labeling other tweets from the president misleading. Make the label bigger, please.
That's Don Lemon Fruitcake of CNN. Getting into the battle involving Twitter and the White House, as Twitter suddenly decided it's going to start labeling anything it considers incorrect, especially if it comes from the White House. In fact, when the president tweeted out remarks about a mail-in ballot the other day, Twitter decided to put a quote at the bottom saying, "Get the facts," a little highlight. The president's remark was, "There is no way, zero, that mail-in ballots will be anything less than substantially fraudulent. Mailboxes will be robbed, ballots will be forged, and even illegally printed out and fraudulently signed." And he also said the governor of California sending ballots to millions of people, anyone living in the state, no matter who they are or how they got there, will get one. This will be followed up with professionals telling all of these people, many of whom have never even thought of voting before, how and for whom to vote. This will be a rigged election. No way. And again, Twitter decided to put its fact finders in place and put on each of those tweets, "Check the facts, get the facts," suggesting that the remarks from Trump amount to a lie. CNN, with Don Lemon Fruitcake and others joining in, the Washington Post also joining in, saying all those remarks are wrong. They're not all wrong. They're not saying it happens all the time. He doesn't say that. He's saying that mail-in ballots will be anything less than substantially fraudulent. Zero way that they will be. In other words, there's a good possibility many of them will be fraud. We know that that's a fact. That's a clear fact. Is he saying it's going to happen with all of them? No. Now, what about the governor of California when the president said they're sending out millions to people, anyone living in the state, no matter who they are, how they got there? We already heard that. We know they and other states, like Minneapolis, they're just going to send them out to folks in general. Not just voter applications in some cases, but actual ballots. But if you're going to see the tweets from President Trump in the future, you will find things like that they put up the other day. Get the facts about mail-in ballots. I want you to get the facts about mail-in ballots. Absolutely. That's just fine. But the gall of Twitter and its operators and their, quote, effort to bring truth is really amounting to censorship, partisan censorship. They haven't shut him off yet, although there have been calls for it. And they think by doing this, we'll hold the line. We have had numerous concerns about mail-in voting and how it's done. That's a fact. It's not just an opinion of Donald Trump. But there's another story behind this. When Don Lemon Fruitcake was saying, make the label bigger, please, talking about that warning as they're putting on, indicating they fact-checked it, which if they fact-check it, they had to take that off because their statement isn't exactly clear or 100% right either. But the other part gets back to Twitter had tweets up from the president when he tweeted about Joe Scarborough, MSNBC host, regarding an intern of his when he was in Congress in 2001. The intern fell and hit her head at his Florida office. Turned out to be an undiagnosed heart condition. And the president, in one of his tweets, had said, the opening of a cold case against psycho Joe Scarborough was not a Donald Trump original thought. This has been going on for years, long before I joined the chorus. In 2016, when Joe and his wacky future ex-wife, Mika, would endlessly interview me, I was always thinking about that. So many unanswered, obvious questions. But I won't bring them up now. Law enforcement eventually will question. So here they are saying that that remark by Trump was out of line. I wish he had not done it. I wish he had not even gotten into that issue with Scarborough and everything. It wasn't needed. But I want to make sure you get the other side of it. Because now that he did, and you have the mainstream media acting like, oh my God, how could he bring up the poor death of this intern and mock it, and basically accuse Scarborough of having something to do with her death. John Lemon Fruitcake even said, this is outrageous, disgusting. He said, Twitter won't remove those tweets. And Twitter wouldn't come on my show to talk about the decision to let this disgusting smear stand. And he said, people have been removed from Twitter for far less outrageous behavior. We're going to get into that a little bit later because they continue to allow leftists to make their remarks anytime they want, to any extent they want, even if they're talking about killing the president. They allow that to exist on Twitter. Because they're talking about killing this president, Trump, not Obama, obviously. So Twitter is not doing anything about that at this point. And it's got many of the mainstream media upset because they think they're not getting fair treatment. Well, I don't think Trump's getting fair treatment either. But the story behind this intern, it is a tragedy. Again, at that time, Joe Scarborough was not with MSNBC, he was Congress, running Congress. And at that time, she apparently, 2001, had some kind of heart condition. She passed out, fell, hit her head at his Florida office. But the other side of this is, while Don Lemon Fruitcake is on the charge against Trump for making remarks about it at all, the White House press secretary said, and that's Caleb McKinney said, you know what, you need to really go back and look how Scarborough treated it. And in fact, she's referring to what happened on a radio conversation in 2003 on the Don Imus show between Don Imus and Joe Scarborough. I'm going to let you hear it. We'll play it a second time. But what you're going to hear is Imus starting talking about, well, we're going to give you support from time to time if you just listen to us. And then he gets into the death of the intern. And Imus is laughing, and Scarborough is laughing. Here we go.
Occasionally, we're going to try to help you. And you've just, right, Charles, you've got to listen.
Well, tell me what I need to do.
Well, no, you're doing great. I mean, don't be afraid to be funny.
Okay.
Because you are funny. I asked you why you went to Congress. You said you'd have sex with the intern, then you had to kill her.
Exactly.
that's pretty risky to say.
What are you going to do?
That's funny, right? I asked you why you're running. You said, well, I had sex with an intern, so then I had to kill her. And they laugh. And Scarborough says, well, what are you going to do? Did you hear him put the hammer back on Imus? Of course not. They're so afraid of the guy at the time. He wouldn't stand up. And again, Scarborough, Republican at that time, Scarborough would not say, hey, that's not anything I want to joke about. But apparently he had already made the joke himself. Again, as you listen to it, Imus is saying, continue being funny. That was kind of funny, the thing you said about your intern. This is what Scarborough was responding to when Imus said that. And again, Scarborough had initiated it with a joke previously. Imus is bringing it back up. And when Scarborough says, what else you going to do? Now, he could be saying, well, you know, I got a joke about it and laugh about it anyway. Do you have to laugh about it? But then the other part, joking that he had sex with the intern and had to kill her. Let me let you hear it again.
Occasionally, we're going to try to help you, and you've just, right, Charles, you've got to listen.
Well, tell me what I need to do.
Well, no, you're doing great. I mean, don't be afraid to be funny.
Okay.
Because you are funny. I asked you why you went to Congress. You said you'd have sex with the intern, then you had to kill her.
Exactly.
I mean, that's pretty risky to say.
What are you going to do?
Yeah. Is that funny? I don't see, as CNN and Don Lemon Fruitcake was saying Twitter won't remove those tweets that Trump made about Scarborough. He did not point out what Scarborough did on that joke with Imus program. Now, maybe he didn't know. You think it's possible he didn't know? Or do you think it's more likely that he knew, but he didn't think you knew? And come on, this is a long time ago. This was back in 2003 that this radio conversation took place, so maybe you don't remember anything about it, don't know about it. Of course, that stuff doesn't go away. The left likes to rewrite history all the time, and they do as often as they can. But there are times documentation, such a nasty thing, and facts, another nasty thing, spring up in their face. But that aside, again, we have Twitter deciding it's going to start fact-checking, particularly Trump. The guy that's apparently responsible for the fact-checking policy for Twitter has in the past tweeted, members of the Trump administration are Nazis. He used his own Twitter account to make that remark, and this is the guy doing the fact-checking? Members of the Trump administration are Nazis? Name me one. Just one. One that's a Nazi. And he's also made other false, inflammatory statements on the Twitter account. His official job title is, God almighty, I'm going to laugh over this, Head of Site Integrity. Right. Right, and so he explained the platform's new policy in a May 11th blog post saying, dealing with misleading information at that time on coronavirus. So we're going to go ahead and attack and deal with this every time Trump says something wrong. We're going to bring it up. But again, the kind of misleading and abusive content that he's had repeatedly. Here's some examples. Today on Meet the Press, we're speaking with Joseph Goebbels for about the first 100 days. Joseph Goebbels is in the White House? Of course not. But that's what he wanted you to believe. And again, the same guy, Yoel Roth, Y-O-E-L Roth. He said, I'm just saying, we fly over those states that voted for a racist tangerine for a reason. So is this Twitter account verification and background, this is going to be unbiased, right? No political leanings? Not likely. Obviously it is. President Trump is in turn accusing Twitter of interfering itself in the 2020 presidential election. The president wrote regarding that new fact check. He said, if they're going to brand my tweets about election fraud as false, they are interfering. Twitter is now interfering in the 2020 presidential election. They're saying my statement on mail-in ballots, which will lead to massive corruption and fraud, is incorrect, based on fact-checking by fake news CNN and the Amazon Washington Post. He said that Twitter is stifling free speech, and I will not allow it to happen. And he's issuing a threat, a warning. We'll take a break. I'll come back and tell you about the warning he's issuing, and again, I'm going to give you an example where a member of the left could say whatever, on Twitter, even to the assassination of the president. And Twitter has no problem with that issue.
Red Fitness Lounge in Clayton sponsors this segment. Red Fitness Lounge, redefining exercise, changing how you think and look at fitness, one client at a time. I'll see you at Red Fitness Lounge. Get details at redfitnesslounge.com. redfitnesslounge.com.
Then the sheriff came around in the middle of the night. Heard mama crying that something wasn't right. He's headed down to Knoxville with a weekly load. You can smell a whiskey burning down Copperhead Road.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
You know, I asked you why you won Congress. You said you'd have sex with the intern, then you had to kill her. You know, I asked you why you won Congress. You said you'd have sex with the intern, then you had to kill her. You know, I asked you why you won Congress. You said you'd have sex with the intern, then you had to kill her.
That's from 2003. Don Imus talking to Joe Scarborough at that time, a Republican congressman, joking about the death of an intern in 2001 who simply fell over in his Florida office, hit her head, and died. Imus was joking about it, quoting Scarborough and saying, you said you had sex with an intern, you had to kill her. And then, of course, you get Scarborough laughing and saying, well, what are you going to do? They thought it was funny then, but now that Trump has brought it up on a tweet recently that could be a cold case at Scarborough, you know, we never got a clear resolution of what happened with that intern. Again, I will reemphasize to you, I wish Trump had not even gotten into that mess. Had no reason to bring it up or say anything, but he chose to do so. But then what you've got, Don Lemon Fruitcake last night calling out Twitter and saying, you should take that off. If you're going to be policing your device, your app, then you should take something like that off. But Imus did not tell you that Joe Scarborough had joked about it himself. President Trump is warning Twitter. The federal government could strongly regulate or close them down if they continue to silence conservative voices. He said Republicans feel that social media platforms totally silence conservative voices. And that's why when he said the other day we need to be worried about voter fraud coming up, Twitter with their new device to say we're going to fact check issues, put up on the page, check the facts first. Well, the president didn't say anything that wasn't fact. It doesn't happen all the time, but yes, it does and has. And again, as I pointed out earlier, the guy that's in charge of watching over the tweets and fact-checking them has in the past made numerous comments against Trump and his administration, saying they're Nazis of the Trump administration. And then you get with the left, whenever they do, they let go. Kathy Griffin on Twitter the other day. The president had some folks up in the White House in an event dedicated to seniors suffering from diabetes, and he jokingly asked if he should be on insulin. And Kathy Griffin's idea of a joke was to go on Twitter and say, syringe with nothing but air inside it. It would do the trick. F Trump. Well, it was pointed out, medical procedures, air accidentally injected into the body's bloodstream through syringes or IVs, can cause air embolisms, which can be fatal. In other words, you get a blockage of pocket of air in there, and it could be fatal. Kathy Griffin's response, she doubled down. She said, I sure did say it, effer. Hashtag Trump lied, people died. I'm not seeing, well, a representative for Twitter says, well, we're going to look into that tweets, see if they violated our terms and policies. You have to look into it. If someone's talking about killing the president, if that's a violation of your policy. I'm on Twitter until they take me off, I guess. Hashtag at Larry Connors USA, not hashtag, at Larry Connors USA. So you can always send me something on Twitter until they shut it down. And coming up, we're going to take a break because with the FISA reform legislation pending, now in the last few hours, word coming out, junk it. Don't support it because it's still not going to be adequate. I've got an expert on that issue. And, of course, we'll get into that and some other issues when we continue.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Hi, I'm local tax attorney Lance Drury, and I've represented hundreds of individuals and small businesses in disputes with the IRS. So if you've been contacted for past due tax debt or haven't filed taxes in a while, contact me, Lance Drury. And because each client's case is unique, we'll meet face-to-face and go over your tax situation in detail. Together, we'll develop a strategy to resolve your tax issues. I'm experienced, I know your rights, and I'll give you honest answers. Under my 8-point plan, my firm will file the necessary forms needed to resolve your issue with the IRS, and you won't have to worry about talking to their agents. I'll negotiate on your behalf to get you the lowest settlement allowed by law. At the Lance Drury Law Firm, we want to make sure that you're satisfied with the outcome. So call me now, tax resolution attorney Lance Drury, 314-238-7360, or go to LanceDrurylaw.com.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Speaking of Twitter, last night the president issued a tweet urging all Republicans to vote no on the FISA legislation. And this is new legislation coming out dealing with reforming FISA because of the abuses we saw with the Mueller-Russian collusion investigation. And today, just in the last few minutes, the Justice Department urging President Trump to veto any legislation to reauthorize surveillance authorities, doing so just hours before a scheduled vote in the House, and saying it goes too far, the new legislation goes too far and would weaken national security tools. There's a plus minus to that tool. Great use and also abuse possibilities. And joining us now, an expert on national security, homeland security, Charles Cully Stimson of the Heritage Foundation. Cully, welcome aboard.
Thanks for having me.
So in the last few minutes, as I said, the Justice Department telling the president veto that legislation that they're now considering. Now, bring us up to speed on what the legislation is.
So Congress put sunset provisions, expiration dates, on certain parts of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. Three provisions expired March 15th. A lot of the act still is in existence and will remain in existence. But the three expiring provisions are the business records provision, the roving wiretap provision, which allows you to track somebody regardless of what phones they're using, because we know terrorists use burner phones, and then the so-called lone wolf provision, which does not apply to Americans, which applies to terrorists who aren't affiliated with a terrorist organization. Those three provisions expired back on March 15th. And so the House has proposed a whole bunch of amendments to those provisions. They also kill the provision that allows the National Security Agency to collect the metadata for phone calls when they ask for a warrant. This whole entire mess is clouded by what happened in the Mueller investigation, and more specifically, the abuses that took place against Carter Page and the four deficient FISA warrants sought under the previous administration. So the president is understandably upset, and the Justice Department has now said that the House so-called fixes, which aren't fixes at all, go too far.
And well, let me break that down. This is an amendment offered by a bipartisan Congresswoman Lofgren, Democrat of California, Congressman Davidson, mm-hmm. Republican of Ohio, and mm-hmm. all of it is, of course, to supposedly have a better deal, but you're saying, and the DOJ is of the opinion, that this would go too far, weaken national security tools. To what extent?
So I think everyone agrees that the DOJ Inspector General Michael Horowitz's IG reports, which pointed out all the abuses against Carter Page and in the Flynn disaster, that he's a straight shooter. But what he points out, if you actually read the reports, and I've read them backwards and frontwards, is that the FBI didn't follow their own procedures in making sure that each and every fact put in a FISA application warrant is backed up by actual evidence in a file called a Woods file. That's the name after the lawyer who created this procedure. And the real fix, if Congress was serious about fixing this so that they would never have these problems again, is not all these other amendments that are out there that have nothing to do with not following the Woods procedures, is if Congress legislated and codified and made the Woods procedure law so that the FBI agent is putting together his application has to have actual evidence for each and every fact he puts in his FISA application. And then every lawyer at the Department of Justice who reviews that before going before the FISA court has to actually see, touch, and feel that evidence and make sure that each and everything they allege in that application is backed up in the Woods file.
Well, how does that differ from what we saw as to how the FISA warrants were issued, basically, as FBI and others just simply presented it to the FISA court and say, we got it, we believe it, and this is why we need it? I mean, does that change anything they did then? I would think so.
It absolutely would have made all the difference. First off, the four Carter Page FISA warrants would never have even been sought because they did not have the evidence to at least satisfy the probable cause standard for the FISA court to even issue the warrant. So,
but the dossier, was the Steele dossier considered a fact that they presented to the FISA court to get it? So if they're going to use false, misleading information, they know it's a lie, and they're still using it.
Right, and they relied in large part, but not exclusively, on the Steele dossier, which was conjecture, innuendo, rumor, dressed up as actual intelligence, which it wasn't. And so if you had to prove each and every fact alleged in the Steele dossier, you couldn't do it because there was no there. And so if Congress was serious about fixing the actual problems, they would require under law that FBI agents have a fact in a file, in the Woods file, for each and every fact they allege in the application, and then they could require DOJ lawyers also to personally check that there is a Woods file for each and every fact, and also hold them personally accountable and hold them under penalty of perjury when they appear before the FISA court. If that had happened, none of these problems would have happened, period. All these other amendments totally missed the mark, and they conflate the anger about the Carter Page fiasco, the anger about the Mueller witch hunt, which was a witch hunt, the whole Russian collusion hoax, which was a hoax, and they would actually get to the deficiencies in the actual process. I know it's not sexy, but when you talk about process, the process has to be right, and Congress could legislate the process.
Well, it's a double-edged sword here. We want to make sure our country's protected, yet we want American citizens' rights protected.
Right. So notice that I never even mentioned once that there were deficiencies in the business records exception or the application of the business records. Notice I never mentioned, nor did the IG mention, that the roving wiretap provision was abused, or that the lone wolf provision, which, by the way, has never been used, was abused in this process. This was a complete and utter failure to be scrupulously accurate in the application. That's the standard the FBI has to use, scrupulously accurate in these FISA warrants. They weren't. They lied for political purposes, probably. People may have committed crimes, and that's what the U.S. Attorney for Connecticut is looking at, Mr. Durham.
Okay.
And they should be held accountable for that.
In the final couple of minutes, I want to get into something that I know you have written with your colleague Hans von Spakovsky, we've had on numerous times, about the FBI, why it did not record the Flynn interview. And I've got a piece in front of me from The Hill by one of their opinion contributors talking about how, you know, the reason they don't do it is because it would involve so much that they'd have to go through. And basically, it basically comes down to that the FBI agents are expected to be telling the truth. So they don't need to have a recording. They could just make their 302 report of any interview and just substantiate it and back it with their personal oath and testimony, no recording. You and Han say, yeah, we need recordings. Why wouldn't we in this day and age?
Right, because all the other law enforcement agencies around the country a decade or more ago have moved to videotape or audio tape recordings because, number one, it protects the integrity of the agent himself or herself. Two, and it protects the defendant's rights. Three, it's fair to the defendant, the process. The judge is helped by this. I was a judge for 5 years. I know I certainly relied on videotapes because it could let me see not only what was said, but the tone, volume, and inflection of the participants. It helps the prosecutor. It disposes of worthless and weak cases. It shows the prosecutor if the cops violated the defendant's rights in failing to read him his Miranda rights. So it's very helpful. And by the way, every single one of us, you included, me included, is an amateur videographer today. We have an iPhone. We have a smartphone.
Right.
And so juries expect it, and the FBI needs to get out of the Hoover era and just get with the program and do it.
I guess the other part of that is, and because of what McCabe and Comey and the others have done at the top of the FBI, they were told, oh, no, you're supposed to just believe the FBI agent without question. And I know a lot of agents. They're good friends. They've done well. They're, you know, they're professional, but what the damage has been done to the FBI by this recent collusion, Flynn, Carter, Page, and the rest of them, I don't have a lot of trust in them across the board, and we're supposed to just accept their word? We don't need a recording?
Well, look, I'm a former federal prosecutor. I have immense respect for the agents. This isn't an agent problem. This is a policy problem at the top of the FBI. And yes, most FBI agents and police officers are honest and trustworthy. But, you know, juries look at all the evidence and they have to rely on the presumption of innocence of the accused. And the government has to prove their case beyond a reasonable doubt. The government has the burden of proof to prove each and every element beyond a reasonable doubt. And so, of course, the FBI agents that I know want to be able to videotape cases, interviews of suspects, interviews of witnesses, because it helps build their case. It adds more credibility.
And real quickly, in the last 30 seconds, they say, well, it'd be too much work. But it seems to me that they would consider making exceptions on prime cases, such as going to the White House to talk to Flynn, or even when they did the Hillary Clinton. In the last 20 seconds, your response.
Yeah, well, there's reasons they didn't record Flynn, because they didn't want to be on record, on tape, asking him the tricky, slippery questions they asked him. But for the field agent, on the average case, they want that.
All right. Cully, I appreciate you taking time. We ran through a lot of material. I appreciate you rolling with me. You're outstanding. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. We'll do it again. Charles Cully Stimson, expert in Homeland Security, National Security with the Heritage Foundation. Great points. Great points about the legislation right now that's being held up, obviously, regarding FISA reform. Coming back, in California, they're cracking down on littering. It has nothing to do with homeless feces.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at LarryConnorsUSA.
Thank you. This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Under California law, under the law, if you're caught littering anything, you could face fines of up to $3,000. In L.A., the harshest penalty is $1,000, up to 6 months in jail. They want to increase that penalty in L.A. One of the councilmen said, anytime you throw a piece of trash on the ground, much less something that's possibly contaminated, just realize the level of disrespect that is for others in the general public. I would agree. Another L.A. councilman saying, this littering is not only disrespectful of others, it's dangerous to others, especially the workers who end up cleaning up the contaminated items. What are they talking about? Well, they must be talking about the homeless across California, L.A., San Francisco, and elsewhere that are defecating anywhere they choose, urinating on the sidewalk, on a business glass front window, whatever they want to do. I'd say that's pretty excessive littering. Would you not agree? No. The L.A. Council and the state of California apparently don't consider that violations for littering. What they're concerned about now, that apparently a lot of folks around the L.A. area, at least, are taking their unwanted mask and gloves and simply tossing them out on the street or in a neighborhood, something, after they finish using them. Well, now, granted, they shouldn't be doing that, the gloves and the mask. Do you see what's happened? How the leftists suddenly rushed to the forefront because of this virus issue? And I'm telling you, before they worried about a pandemic of the virus issue, they had an epidemic in that area with disease because of homeless people defecating, urinating anywhere and everywhere in plain sight of general public, to the extent that the cities often had to hire a poop squad, a literal human poop squad, to go clean it up. And now they're acting like, oh, you throw a glove or mask down, that's some serious littering. What are they smoking out there? Yeah, it's legal out there. I have no problem. That's what they want to do. But are they all smoking it at the same time? They don't realize the previous stuff was a threat to public health and to those who had to clean it up? And that certainly shows disrespect for your neighborhood? No, that's okay, because that's homeless, and that's a different story. And many of those might be illegal, so we don't want to get into that. If you are a homeless person in California, and illegal at that, and you are wearing a mask, toss it on the ground. They're not going to touch you. You can do your body functions right next to it. They're not going to bother you. But anyone else, apparently they're going to come at you and come at you hard. None of that makes any sense. None of it. But it is a fantasy land out there now. But they still want to say, according to one of the councilmen, during this pandemic, I think it makes good sense. We enhance penalties. We make it a strong statement that it is unacceptable to throw your gloves and mask willy-nilly on the ground. And not one reporter covering them said, what about the people who relieve themselves on the ground on our streets in front of businesses? No one bothered to ask. Nope, apparently not. I know there are a lot of good folks living in California, L.A., and elsewhere, even conservatives. And I know you don't carry the weight of the votes in most cases, so you have to live with the others and their decisions. I feel for you. And for the others, you're getting exactly what you voted for. You are. The homeless issue and the sanitation issues around the tents they just throw up anywhere and everywhere have been ignored and continue to be ignored. The focus is on this virus and anybody taking one of their masks or gloves and just tossing it aside. Otherwise, you're free to roam about California and do your body functions anywhere you choose. Coming up in the next hour, did police use excessive force in the death of a Minneapolis man? I have some personal opinions on it, but I will stress to you again, I don't have all the facts, and no one that's talking about it has all of the facts at this time. No one. But the question is still there. Did police use excessive force in the death of a Minneapolis man? He was not shot. He was held to the ground, repeatedly saying, "I can't breathe." Sound familiar? We'll get into that story. And then in New York, a white woman calls police saying, "I'm being threatened by a black man." Well, there are more details to that story as well. But she's saying, "I'm being threatened." And he tells her, "Go ahead and call police. I want you to call police." We'll get into that story. And then Joe Biden is blaming Charlemagne Lagarde for his remarks the other day that got him in trouble. Biden's not going to take responsibility. He's blaming Charlemagne Lagarde. I wonder what Charlemagne has to say about that. Middle name, Larry. And also, a new television documentary featuring Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton is not going to like this documentary. It's all coming up in the next hour. So please stick around. Next hour.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.